We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome into the DNVR Rockies podcast brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook. Now when you download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use promo code DNVR, you're going to get $200 in free bets instantly when you place a $5 bet this Sunday. And that's with code DNVR only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. I am Patrick Lyons.
I am Susie Hunter. Patrick, what a pleasant surprise these past couple of days have been at Coors Field.
I appreciate how much the Rockies listened to our show. They heard that in order to achieve the hunt for 69, to have a complete kill there, they were one game behind. They had to make one up for that Cincinnati series. And guess what? They did almost immediately. They take two out of three from the Brewers. Of course, they lost on Labor Day, which was a bummer, but they went on Tuesday night in a major fashion. We'll talk about that. There's a bit of history there going on with a certain someone. And of course, the 8-4 victory on Wednesday, where we have to salute our DraftKings Sportsbook king of the game,
Kyle Freeland, the Colorado kid, absolutely crushed it today. Six innings pitched, two hits, allowed one run, one walk, and eight strikeouts. That there ties a season high. So Freeland was cooking today, and you absolutely love to see it.
He was really fantastic. I mean, dominant at times. Again, the eight strikeouts for a season high, that obviously goes a long way towards doing that. Game score, if you're looking at that, again, all the different things he was able to do, really was able to minimize it to just three base runners there with the two hits and one walk. So 71 as far as a game score goes. I think that's tied for his eighth best start of his career. So right there, if you're looking at that particular metric, pretty darn good. 85 pitches. He talked post game. Were you surprised a little bit that he didn't go a little bit longer, given that he had only thrown 85? He had been throwing more pitches, you know, each time around. It was third time through the order. So you go 15, 20 pitches might not be enough to throw another inning. There could be a guy on base. You got to go to the bullpen, but maybe he deserves that opportunity. What was your sense on Wednesday?
Yeah, you know, I was surprised to see, oh, only 85 pitches. Okay. But then when we talked to him after the game, you know, he was mentioning how, you know, these, we know how the balls fly at Coors Field, especially when it's hot out. So, I mean, that really wears him down. So he said that it was a mutual decision for them to take him out. I think it worked out well.
I think given the fact that the score was 7-1 at that point,
yeah.
You look and go, you know what? There's no reason to push it. He certainly could go out there. You know, if this is a more of a must win game, then yes, certainly you could imagine him still going out there. Did a good job keeping the ball on the ground. 8 of his 10 outs were on the ground, only 2 in the air. So, you know, again, different circumstance, maybe you keep him out there. The one thing that, you know, knock on wood, and one of the rehab coordinators said, I've totally jinxed the team, but I haven't. No cramping. It feels like every summer you get that moment, usually mid to late August. A guy gets taken out of the game. You're like, oh God, what's wrong? This could be bad. They're just grimacing. They help him off the field. Just general cramping. So I don't know if they've gotten the Powerade solution down exactly.
You
right?
know what? We know that the Powerade has been spicy this season. We know it's been strong. It's been strong. So I think it's working in terms of cramping.
Powerful and aid aplenty is that power aid. But we haven't even seen anybody on the other team have that kind of situation. So that was that's been strange. That's a good thing, obviously. And so, yeah, they err on the side of caution. Justin Lawrence comes in there, you know, does a good job, gives up a run. But this was Freeland's 11th quality start of the year. Now, since the All-Star break, has a sub-4 ERA, you know, 3.98, 14 walks, 43 strikeouts and 9 starts. So he's been getting himself pointing in the right direction. We're seeing Marquez now getting himself pointing in the right direction. And so, you know, with there still being a decent amount left of the season left, you know, we could be looking at, gosh, maybe 4 more starts for these guys, maybe at most. If they continue to go the way that they've been, all in all, their final season numbers could be fairly good. Even though, again, we think about the most important games of the season, he's like, their ERA was closer to 5 when the games mattered. Then they tacked on late on the end. Look, it's still a full complete season, so I think this could help them out in general. So it was really good to just see Freeland kind of on his game and continue to dominate the Brewers.
Yeah,
for some reason he owns the Milwaukee Brewers.
Someone update his Wikipedia page because he absolutely is an owner of that team.
Yeah, he had a mid-2 ERA and 4 starts against them. And with today's 6 innings and 1 earned run, lowered his ERA and 5 starts to 2.32 against the Milwaukee Brewers. That's he owns them. That's
he owns them.
Man, and you got to think in an alternate reality, Freeland doesn't throw in the wild card game in 2018 against the Cubs. They're still able to win, but then maybe Freeland is pitching in the division series in 2018. Maybe we're able to take a game there and flip some things around. Again, revisionist history doesn't really serve anyone.
It's so far in the past, Patrick. You're just causing pain upon yourself.
Almost half a decade now. Almost half a decade. Ooh.
Feeling old.
Those were the days. Yeah, it was almost exactly a decade since we've had less than 20,000 at Coors Field. So, you know, attendance is something that can be interesting at times. Look, we talked to Jessica Kleinschmidt about it. They had 2,341 at the Oakland Coliseum, you know, one game plus 3 possums. So again, I don't know if you want to count that towards the attendance figures, but
they're
obviously
tickets. They don't count.
Oh, okay. So it's paid attendance and in person.
Ticketed attendance. Yeah, no, possums don't count. They snuck in.
But what if we had a situation like a pizza rat? The possum, we have a ticket possum, and a possum is dragging a ticket inside, and then maybe, but still, if you're
it
a ticket
counts.
Possum.
That would count.
But that ticket possum ejected for being in the press box. Look, your tickets do not allow you that exclusive.
No, they don't. It's not all access.
Bottom line, I was curious. I wanted to know because there definitely was not 20,272, whatever the exact number was, there today. Roxpile, there was at points in which you could count the amount of people that were there. There were like 14 sections at some point that nobody was sitting in. Again, a lot of it was that it was in the sun, but they were able to just get over 20,000. There was a game earlier this year. Didn't realize it at the time. May 4th against the Nationals, where they had less than 20,000. That was the first time since 2013 that the Rockies had less than 20,000 at Coors Field. Of course, We are not counting any of the 2020 games where literally no one was there, or the 2021 season in which there were certain restrictions on attendance. So that's going to skew the numbers a little bit. But really, long time, only 43 times in Coors Field history have less than 43,000 been there when they've had the ability to sell it out. So we came close today, but didn't happen. Those 270-some Brewers fans that showed up put us over the top, I think.
I mean, also, like, who – yeah, not a ton of people at this game. Obviously not, you know, the lowest number. But, you know, the school year's already started. Mm-hmm. It's 100 degrees outside. The Rockies are not making a playoff run. So, like, it's hard to play hooky when all that's going on.
It's true. I think even mid to late August, schools on the East Coast haven't yet started. You know, it's maybe I've said this before. I've said it so many times, like a broken record. On the East Coast, they start after Labor Day. That's their tent pole is Labor Day. They'll start after it. Whereas out here in the West and in Colorado, they want to finish on the tent pole of Memorial Day. So that obviously changes when you start. So even in mid to late August, you got, you know, families coming from the East Coast or whatever, doing their Colorado trip. And what's on that list of things to do? Maybe you go to Red Rocks. Maybe you drive to Rocky Mountain National Park, and you most definitely get a ticket to Coors Field. To your point, it's now after Labor Day. So you know what? Kids are in school all across the country. So you're right. You're not able to tap into those for the evening games, for the day games. It'll be interesting to see what happens this weekend against the Diamondbacks, where, again, Diamondbacks, they got some good young players, three guys that are 22 years old on there that are very exciting. Zach Gallen has a scoreless streak of 41 and a third innings pitched. So that will be exciting. But again, and I'm not a parent, so I don't know that vibe of hey, my kids, they're back to school. Things are a little bit crazy. Let's go out for the weekend. Maybe you want to like quiet them down just a little bit more. So I don't know. I don't know if families are going to be getting away this weekend exactly.
I don't know. Maybe they need a break from the rat race. Maybe they need to run out and get stuff for school supplies. I don't know how kids work. I don't remember being one. So
I'm pretty sure kids don't need school supplies, Susie. So that's one thing I got to correct you on. They've never needed school supplies. That's one thing. They need tacos though. And you know what? The Rockies supplied those apostrophe S tacos transition did it. They got seven there, which was fantastic. I did not even realize at one point there was a position player pitching because I wasn't listening to the broadcast. I was watching. I'm working on our outline. We're getting updates on certain things that prevented us from being in studio today.
Yeah.
And I went and looked. I said, all right, let me write in some of the pitching lines for the Brewers guys. Let's see what Brent Suter did. And Peterson, Jay. Wait, that's
he's a position not a pitcher.
That's not a pitcher at all.
He's an infielder. What's going on? Eighth inning. Brewers brought in a position player when they were already down by so much.
Yeah, they were getting whooped on that point. They did get a couple of runs back there in the ninth off of Jake Bird, who I'm sure would love to have those back. But no harm, no foul overall. Guy who did harm the ball pretty well. We talked to post game. I mean, I think you've talked to him a couple times already since we've been back home at Coors Field. But Michael Tolia, his first Coors Field home run, got out of the way nice and early, and that was really awesome to see, wasn't it?
Yes, it was very exciting, but also interesting to note, since he's a switch hitter, he is now homered from the left side and the right side.
That's right. No word yet on how many Rockies guys have done that in a single season.
We're waiting to kind of figure that out. We're
in the process of acquiring a spreadsheet to be named later. That's for sure. We'll definitely get that information. Yeah, it was nice to see them go yard off of Brent Suter. So that was really nice. Jonathan Daza played really well again. He was 2-for-4 with two runs and a double. Now has multiple hit games in his last three contests. He's only been off the IL for two games. So, yeah, that was Wednesday and Tuesday. But his previous game, he had a two-hit outing or multi-hit outing. So, it's been really good to see a lot of these guys kind of lock in. Elias Diaz had a couple hits today. Montero struck out his first two at-bats, then came through with a double. So they got those runs early and in bunches, and then they went really quiet. But bottom line, bullpen got the job done. Freeland went long enough for that quality start. And the Rockies are feeling a little bit better about themselves at 59-79. Four more wins to avoid 100 losses. I think that's I mean, there could, you never know. Look, this is why they play the games. This is why they play the games. But I think they'll go ahead and avoid that 100 loss season. And now they're back on track there to have 70 wins this season. So I'm feeling pretty good. And they needed that because I had them down for 2 wins against the Diamondbacks this weekend. Maybe 1 could be all that they get. So that was an important victory. And the Rockies continue to just spoil the Brewers' world. And it happened back in 2019. So Brewers obviously spoiled the Rockies' season in 2018, knocking them out. Rockies didn't even score a run there in game 3 of the NLDS at home, a game that was really cold. Might have even been snowing, I think, for a little bit. Oof. But nevertheless, next season, Brewers finish at Coors Field. And Rockies polish off a 3-game sweep. I think Sam Hilliard scored on a wild pitch in extra innings. It was before we had runners on second base. And swept them, knocked them out of the postseason. Cardinals ended up getting that spot to win the NL Central. So Rockies really like sticking it to the Brewers. And I think they're going to do it to the Padres again. I had them winning 2 out of 3 against the Padres. I think, you know, certain teams like sticking it to other teams for whatever it is. Rockies have the Brewers number, and I think they're going to have the Padres number as well coming up here pretty soon.
You know what? It was so funny also when we talked to Michael Tolia after the game. Listen, he's caught on fast. He's like, oh, yeah, if we can spoil someone's playoff run, like, I'm all in. Sign me up.
He did. He had a nice display of baseballs that we scoped at, you know, his first game, first base hit, first home run. He didn't get back his home run yet.
No.
I don't know if he's going to. He said, oh, yeah, someone, you know, said they have it. That doesn't sound promising. Like you need to just get it right away so there's no swap outs.
Yeah.
So we should have went to Tiny on that one to find out if he'll get that first Coors Field home run. But first home run is way more important.
Than the first
one at your home stadium. You know what I mean? So
this is true. But yeah, I was surprised that he didn't already have it.
No. Look, we are going to have Breck Brew on tap at the DNVR bar this Friday. We open up. The big grand opening down there on the corner of Colfax in New York. Members, you know, it's only 50 cents for your first month to the dnvr.com. You know, in the past, you've gotten those member-sized beers, price breaks on the tailgates and the Nuggets party bus, Avs party bus, Rapids. We're doing all kinds of great stuff, and we're giving those kickbacks to you guys out there when you become a member to the dnvr.com. And of course, on the website, you're going to get access to all of our podcasts, a lot of stuff behind the paywall, a lot of really great articles. Broncos are getting going. They got their first game, a little revenge match there for Russell Wilson against the Seahawks. You're going to read all about that over on the dnvr.com. And if you want an annual membership, you know, you get a free shirt from the DNVR locker. Breckenridge Brewery, they've got a big party coming up. It's a birthday bash. They're 32 years young. Come celebrate with Breck Brew as they're throwing their weekend hootenanny. Man, it's kicking off fall with music, food, beer, of course, and games October 8th and 9th at their Littleton location. They've got national acts like Spin Doctors and local favorites, Railroad Earth, rocking out. So stay tuned for everything DNVR, for the hootenanny giveaways leading up to October 8th. Check out events.seated.com/hootenanny22 for more details on tickets and artist lineup. Again, events.seated.com/hootenanny22 for more information. Link, of course, is in the description. Football fans, the first Sunday of the year is here. I mean, not the real year of 2022, but the NFL season. Some people,
yeah.
Are there calendars? Do you know, Susie? You know how like around April, you can get a price break on calendars because you've lost a couple months. Are there special NFL calendars where it just starts with the first Sunday
in September?
There should be.
You know what? There really should be because I know a lot of people, their life doesn't start until football season starts. So I'm sure a lot of internal calendars go by the NFL season.
Yeah. Their year starts, but then it also pauses because, again, that's what they are doing each and every weekend. And they're probably doing it with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. They're giving you can't-miss offer for all those new fans out there with the turn of the NFL season right now. New customers, you can bet just $5 and get $200 in free bets instantly. And as an added bonus for week one, everyone can experience the thrill of DraftKings early win promotion. That basically means if your team gets up by 10 points or more, you've won. You get paid instantly. Even if your team ends up losing, you get that 10-point lead. Boom. you cash in. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. It really is. I love that concept to make you feel good that even if they end up blowing a lead like that, you're like, but I still won. Still won because they were up by 10.
Someone won.
Yes. I think most people would rather their wallet win than their team win. Man, maybe
depends on the case, but I do like getting my money.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Well, you're going to get that DraftKings Sportsbook because they always make sure you can take care of that. Super easy. Check out the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code DNVR to get $200 in free bets instantly when you place a $5 bet for this Sunday. That's code DNVR only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See link in the description for more details. And look, if you want to bet on the Super Rugby that's going on, you can learn a lot more about it on the DNVR Rugby podcast with our guy Colton Strickler. Check them out. Hit that subscribe button. He's got amazing interviews with coaches, the players themselves, American Raptors, guys right down the road in Denver and Glendale, Colorado, Rugby Town USA. There are rugby's newest team, and these are professional athletes that are learning the sport of rugby first and foremost, and you can be right with them. Go to AmericanRaptors.com. You can get free tickets. That's right, free tickets in this world today, in this economy. They want you to learn the game. And look, if you're doing some things on DraftKings Sportsbook, Colton's going to hook you up with some really good betting advice when it comes to that. I don't really have any advice for the Rockies on their victory on Tuesday night, nice 10-7 win, other than don't wait so late to come from behind. Don't let the other team get such a big lead. But boy, oh boy, how seemingly improbable did Tuesday's win feel to you?
Totally, totally improbable. Because honestly, usually it kind of goes the other way around for the Rockies. It's them blowing a lead, but it was absolutely shocking and absolutely invigorating.
It was great. They were down by 5 runs. It's they're tied for the largest come from behind win this season, July 3rd in Arizona. It ended hot, but it also started hotter. I think we talked about it the other day on Tuesday that 94 degrees on Labor Day was the hottest first pitch tied for since 1998 in September game in Colorado. And then one day later, we did it, folks.
We broke the record.
95 degrees. I think, did it get up to about 97 on Wednesday's game? It wasn't 97 on first pitch, but mm-hmm. I think it may have gotten to that point. And with the haze in the air from the smoke from the fires going on in Idaho, not very comfortable that was out there. So the players were able to get it done. You had their fourth walk-off win of the season, second walk-off home run, first since Brendan Rodgers did it in that doubleheader June 1st in Miami, the Brendan Rodgers game. But this one was the Randall Grichuk game. Boy, oh boy, did he go off.
Oh my goodness, he did. So he was 2 for 5, 4 RBI, 2 home runs. So that first one tied the game. The second one came in extras. That was the walk-off. It was absolutely incredible.
And that's the first time in Rockies franchise history a guy had ever homered in the 8th inning or later and then had the walk-off home run. So, like, it's, again, improbable. You come up, you have no home runs, and flash forward a couple innings, you hit the walk-off, you tied the game up, you end up having 2 home runs. You know, again, first time in Rockies history and first time in a while in MLB.
Yeah. And you know what? I bet that this was the first time we saw that happen with someone from the opposing team hitting a 499-foot home run, because that's what Yelich did earlier in that game.
Christian Yelich hit a mammoth shot. But I'll tell you what.
To the rooftop, to the bar.
It was 4 rows deep in there. That was deep. And a couple guys said, like, I think it actually was a little bit further than that. I would have guessed. Still seemed like it was going upward, its trajectory. But for me, I am more shocked or more surprised, not by the 499-foot home run, because we've kind of seen a couple of those lately. You know, we did just have the home run derby not that long ago last summer. So, you know, we saw some of those shots from Shohei Ohtani. More surprising to me, that was Christian Yelich's first home run at Coors Field.
That was absolutely shocking. Absolutely shocking.
Where do you rank those two? Would you rank the first home run a little bit higher as like a surprising wow factor?
I was definitely more surprised by that for sure.
Totally. Yeah. I had to look it up. I was like, all right, who else has not homered at Coors Field? Well, the ballpark's record is by a pitcher, Rockies pitcher, Aaron Cook. So, I mean, that's not surprising. The active player who has the most plate appearances and without a home run, another pitcher, Kyle Freeland. And so he's not going to snap that. He's going to have that record until he retires. Yes. More than likely, Senzatell is next. But if we're talking position players, Cesar Hernandez, I think he's with the Nationals now this year. He's with Cleveland last year. But Cesar Hernandez, former Philadelphia Phillies second baseman, he's got something like 80-some plate appearances without a home run. So learn that Dave Roberts, also no home runs, 4 triples though. Dave Roberts is tied for the most triples by a player with no home runs at Coors Field, 4. These are the kind of things I'm doing during the game, by the way. If you
yes, clearly. Do you think they look in the mirror at Coors Field and say, this beard has no hits?
Maybe. This beard has no homers.
No homers. You know?
Well, for Christian Yelich, he needs to grow a beard. I think he had some stubble yesterday because he's always so baby-faced.
Yeah.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how much does Christian Yelich look like Pete Davidson?
Oh, they definitely look a lot alike, yeah. For sure.
Did you see that clip a few years ago of when Yelich was still on the Marlins? Pete Davidson actually came out to a Marlins game, dressed up, had Yelich on the back, and was like, you know, he's doing the fake stretching, doing everything like Yelich.
I love that.
Exactly like him, yeah.
That I love that kind of nonsense. Pete Davidson's such a goofball. Also, Christian Yelich, kind of goofball vibes too, so.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, I definitely get that. McCutchen homered in the ninth there, and I bring him up because one of our buddies in the clubhouse, in the press box, the Hawaiian shirt guy who was trending there a couple months ago there. It was against the Dodgers, wasn't it? He asked a question with Dave Roberts, and someone's like, who is this person?
Yeah. We're talking about Bruce, right?
That's our buddy Bruce.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, he used to work at a hotel and he's got all these great stories. I forget what his Christian Yelich story was. That was a punchline. That was really cool. But his two Andrew McCutchen stories is he came up to bring him food and opens the door, sees this Andrew McCutchen, but on the ticket it says Styles as the last name. Hmm. And he goes, Mr. Styles, You had a good game at the ballpark. He says, I don't know what you're talking about. My name is Mr. Styles. And well, what's your first name? Stylin. Oh, okay, Mr. Stylin Styles. So, you know, improv maybe, you know, needs to be worked on a little bit there from Andrew McCutchen. Nevertheless, good stuff going on there.
That's really funny. That's really funny stuff.
Mr. Stylin Styles there, as it's known. But
not a very convincing fake name, but a pretty funny one.
No, yeah, that kind of plays there. Chet Cool was not very good there on Tuesday, unfortunately. Gomber and Denelson Lamet, you know, two guys who, depending on who you ask, they're starting pitcher candidates next year. We'll see what happens. They're going to be in the fold next year. Cool, free agent. Previously, Bill Schmidt said, hey, he's a guy we'd love to bring back. Then July happened and August happened, and he hasn't quite been as successful to any degree. Actually has his 9th consecutive game throwing 5 or fewer innings. It's actually tied for the second longest such streak in franchise history. Record is Drew Pomeranz. Mm-hmm. That's not going to get eclipsed. That's 16 starts. But it's tied for the 4th most home runs in a 9-game span in Rockies history. He's given up 15 in his last 9 starts. So Gomber and Lamet, I think, have a case maybe next year in spring training to stretch out to fight for a spot in the rotation.
Yeah, when did it all go downhill for Chad Cool? Because I feel like he was doing so well, you know, with a couple of exceptions, of course. But then after that complete game, the complete game shutout.
That was it.
I feel like we haven't seen the Chad Cool
all
that
the
we want to see.
Yeah, no, you're 100% right. Like, it literally started right after that. Like, as soon as he finished the game, raised his hands in triumphant victory, it just hasn't been the same. Those are the 9 starts that it goes back to. So it's just, again, so strange for someone who was so effective there and dominant even, you know, against the best team in all of baseball right now. And yet, you know, since then, he's kind of struggled. Seemed a little bit frustrated, you know, would have liked to have stayed in the game a little bit longer. Seemed like it was out of reach at that point, but I'm guessing Buddy just wanted to get Gomber a little bit of extra work there. Bard did give up two runs, he went two innings, gave up a run, but it's unearned because it was the zombie runner on second base was credited with the win. I prefer zombie runner over ghost runner because ghost runner, you don't see a ghost, right? But you can clearly see the player out there. Henceforth, it's a zombie runner. No,
you're the only one who likes zombie runner.
I'm the only one who overanalyzes and it gets pedantic about ghost runner. How about Manfred Mann? Because Rob Manfred came up with it. Manfred Mann is the name of a band too from the 70s. So that kind of fits the Manfred Mann.
I feel like ghost runner is now part of the baseball vernacular. So I feel like it's too. It's too late, Patrick, but I appreciate where your head's at.
I'm going to fight it. I'm still going with Zombie Runner, but I think you're 100% right. I think it's just been accepted that Ghost Runner is kind of the weird accepted phraseology for that. But Daz, as we mentioned, the multi-hit games had a double, homer, and his response just when being asked, because, you know, you homer, you feel good, and you're like, you're on top of the world, and you're like, man, maybe I can really do anything, but... You know, we asked him Tuesday night, like, you know, when you hit that one, you go to center field, you go to the deepest part of the park there. That was a really big home run that was key to kind of get them back into it down by one there in the eighth. His double tied it in the 10th. Mm-hmm. But his response, I just thought, was it was classic Jonathan Daza, right?
He's hilarious. I love when he gets on a tear and like just gets loose and he's so funny. But when asked about that, he was like, oh, yeah. He's like, I couldn't believe that that was a home run. I have no power.
Yeah. He's like, no shot. I don't have any power. That's unbelievable. Montero also had a double homer. So overall, really solid performance there for the Rockies. Take 2 out of 3 from the Brewers. And, hey, they're back home at Coors. If you weren't sure, just check the box score. If they got a win. Yeah, it probably came at Coors Field. And if they're at Coors Field, you got to make sure you're going to Game Time Tickets because it's the hottest new ticketing site that makes it easier than ever to score the best deals on tickets to sports, concerts, shows. Hey, that's how I went to my first show at Red Rocks. Went on Game Time 45 minutes before the show was supposed to start, and I got tickets for $15 each. If you want seats on the 50-yard line, courtside, behind home plate, floor seats at a concert, it's actually possible with the Game Time app. Bottom line, if you love DNVR, then you're going to love Game Time. It's the best way to support us is by buying your tickets through them, through the link in the description. Join over 15 million people who've downloaded the Game Time app and have scored the best seats to their all-time favorite events. Hit the link in our description to save. And make sure you are... You're saving your tummy a little upsettedness because not all pizza places are created equal. It's a simple recipe, right? It's basic stuff, right? I think my mom said it to me the other day. She's like, I just realized, you know, I haven't eaten Mexican food a lot, but it's really just the same ingredients that are in so many other things that I like. And it's like, yeah, that's true of so many foods. But not all pizza is created equally. And you're going to learn that the hard way if you go anywhere other than Sexy Pizza. They've got 4 in the Denver metro area. We're talking Jefferson Park, Park Hill, Capitol Hill, Old South Pearl. Look, the reason is the love and TLC that they put in. Also, it's hand-tossed, and it's a deck oven pizza, and it's made from scratch each morning dough. Those are also certain secrets that go into it. They got a location down in the southern part of the state in Trinidad, and look, they love supporting local organizations and various charities. So you can actually go to their website, check out their about page, and you can see a lot more about what they do to donate food to local organizations in the area. Check out www.sexy.pizza for more information on that front. Also, make sure you are going over to Ivaca TV, the new GOAT in Colorado sports. That is the greatest of all.
Yeah.
TV. Ivaca TV delivers amped up sports coverage for Colorado fans. So that means altitude sports. Yes, that does mean Nuggets and Avs for the first time from the comfort of your own home. AT&T Sportsnet. Yes, the Rockies there. And the NFL Network. Get the most regional content for the lowest price for sports in Colorado, all in crystal clear HD while using less bandwidth. And you get to enjoy over 60 entertainment channels, including news, movies, DNVR Sports channel on YouTube, and more. Turn your home into the ultimate game viewing zone. You can even build stream your teams from your phone. I love that option. You can do it on your laptop. You can do it on your tablet. On the go, you can also add on a discounted Sling TV bundle to get ESPN and more. Vodka is only $25 a month plus a $5 receiver fee. And right now, Colorado sports fans, we are giving you $10 off per month for your first 3 months to score this deal. Go to evoca.tv/Colorado10. That's Evoca, evoca.tv/Colorado10. No contracts, no catches. Evoca is TV made for champions of the remote. Lucas Gilbreth is a champion of PRP injections. He finally got a shot. He survived, didn't pass out, just barely. Forgot to ask if he got a cookie. I'm guessing he did. But he was a big boy. He did a good job, didn't he?
Yeah, no, we both got a chance to talk to him about his PRP. I got it this morning, Wednesday morning, super early in the morning. He hates having blood drawn, like, more than anything. So that was the part that I think was so unpleasant. But also, I guess the way they do it, so they will do an ultrasound on, you know, your elbow, or at least on his, because that's where the injury is, to figure out where they're going to inject it. And it's a really long needle. So he said that it felt like 10 minutes of them, like, you know, fishing the needle around and trying to find the spot. But it was actually only 2 minutes. It just felt like forever.
I didn't hear him say that part. Yeah. But yeah, they go in almost at the bicep, and then it goes all the way down to like the forearm. So that's oof. Yeah, that must have been a really long needle. He looked away. They tried to coax him into looking. He's like, yeah. No, stop. I'm not curious at all. Just make me feel better. Inject me with some PRPL. You know what I'm saying? Purple Rockies.
Oh, got
hey,
it.
Other injury notes.
Got Zika it.
Tovar. Actually, the other injury notes on Tovar and Bryant is there's no real news. Bryant still in the boot. Iglesias is on the 10-day IL. So there's news for Jose Iglesias. Mm-hmm. Right hand contusion, swollen. Might be able to return for the Cubs series next weekend. Those are 3 day games. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. All day games in Chicago. That's kind of interesting. Yeah. As for Tovar, I caught up with GM Bill Schmidt. He just said, look, he's in Arizona. They're trying to get him ready, getting close to games. But look, they've been saying that for a week and a half, 2 weeks now at this point. So not sure what the holdup is. So we'll kind of wait and see what happens. Fingers crossed, he might be able to get to debut at some point. Hunter Goodman, Joe Rock, they're going to be debuting with the AA Hartford Yard Goats. They got promoted. You love it when someone gets called up because it means you've earned the promotion. It's not mm-hmm. Look, if you start the year in the Yard Goats, great. You know, you probably got called up from high Spokane, whatever it is. But midseason call-ups is like, hey, man, we're bringing in extra cavalry to help the Yard Goats go toe-to-toe with the Somerset Patriots, all those teams in the Eastern Division. Love to see that.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. And, of course, you know how much I love my Yard Goats. So I love seeing them get fresh new talent. And I'm excited to see. Goodman's also coming off being Northwest League Player of the Month. So that is, I'm excited for Hartford to receive that good energy.
He started down in Fresno. Then he's going up and kind of the backup, if you will, to Drew Romo. And then, as you pointed out with the Player of the Month award, dude had 83 total bases in August, 25 more than anyone else in the league. So was so dominant for a guy who, again, he was in the complex league last year, and yet goes to Fresno, boom, moves up a level, boom, moves up even another level. So those guys are going to have fun battling there. And congratulations to a team that battled first half and second half. Second half division winner, the Fresno Grizzlies, they also won the first half. So they shouldn't even have to play the first round against the second best team, the San Jose Giants. But they're going to start the postseason next year, next. That's a long wait. That's like 2007 Rockies wait. No,
interesting that they're going to wait until next year, Patrick.
Yeah, I don't look. They don't have a commissioner over there in the Northwest League, so they don't. You know, that kind of fell through the cracks. We'll figure that one out. But yeah, next week that'll get started there in Spokane. Braxton Fulford, another really good catching prospect. I mean, Rockies are kind of loaded with these guys. We're not talking Buster Posey or Adley Rutschman type of catchers. Maybe Drew Romo could be in that group. But ultimately, we're talking just really good organizational guys. I mean, when it's all said and done, you could have four, maybe five catchers come out of this crop that's currently in the Rockies farm system. Fulford had a big day at the plate on Tuesday with a homer double, four RBI. Benny Montgomery has been scorching hot. He was 2 for 5 with a homer and 5 RBI. So he's doing some really big things. And gosh, the farm system is very exciting. And again, we got the slow trickle effect, trickle down or trickle up, if you will, with Michael Tolia coming.
Yes.
And there could be some more. It makes you, anytime you see the good news about that in your head, you kind of go to yourself, say what? Because you're just so excited.
There we go.
You know
there
what I mean?
We go. We're going to transition to say what? Everyone's favorite game where I give Patrick out of context quotes and Patrick is going to guess who said them. Patrick, are you ready?
As ready as I can be.
All right. Kale, let's get that first one up on the board. Quote, let's win one for Mark, end quote. Patrick, who said that?
Who the hell is Mark is what I want to know.
You know what, Patrick? I will also add every single quote today comes from someone who was at Coors Field today. They didn't say it today. Maybe they didn't even say it at Coors Field, but everyone was present.
Good Lord. All right. That you're just adding insult to injury here.
Yeah.
Win one for Mark. I can't even think of any. Well, Mark Reynolds, you got as a former Rocky guy. Mark McGuire is the first Mark that I've got going on. It could be a pro wrestler talking about wrestling fans as being Marks, but I highly doubt that one would have gotten past
your
preview. You would have put that one on the kibosh. Let's win one for Mark.
Who would say that, Patrick?
Mark Gustafson. No, but he spells his name with a C, not a K.
No, it's not that Mark.
Let's just go Christian Yelich.
I mean, yes, he did say it, but
what?
You have not. All right, let's get the next image up because here is the context. So at American Family Field a week or so ago on the announcement, someone friend-zoned a guy named Mark. The board reads, Mark, your friendship means the world to me. Let's not wreck it. That's pretty tough. But the Brewers appreciated it. And Christian Yelich said after the game, they looked up in the dugout, saw it and said, let's win one for Mark. So the support was there for their friend-zoned brethren.
Has Mark shown up yet at American Family Field? Do we know? This could be a PR stunt kind of thing. It's caught on like wildfire, though. I think team did something like that to try to get some rallies going. But yeah, that's pretty good. The silhouette, I had to throw it out on a whim there, that the silhouette was Christian Yelich.
I can't believe that you got that.
Feeling good. All right, maybe I'll do better than I thought so far today. But yeah. I like your hint. I love the theme.
There's a theme. All right, here you go. I'd rather know it's going to hurt really bad. It's like getting a tattoo. I heard it hurt really bad, so I was pleasantly surprised, and it didn't hurt very bad. So, Patrick, who said that?
I think we might have just talked about this young man. Is this Lucas Gilbreth?
Lucas Gilbreth did say this. So, yes, he was talking about, this was before his PRP injection. A little nervous, but he, you know, did all of his research. He would rather know. But yeah, someone had told him that PRP, you know what he said. Here's what he said. I'm going to actually get the quote right. If somebody told me the PRP didn't hurt and it hurt like crazy, I'd be upset. So he wanted to go in totally prepared, expecting the worst. It didn't sound very pleasant anyway, but he got through it. We're so proud of him.
He's brave. Yeah. They're probably also haze him too a little bit of like, oh man, look out for that. Like knowing full well, this is just like a relatively simple procedure, but really egging him on. As soon as you see that fear in his eyes, you go, oh, we got to mess with this guy. Look, he got us free Crocs. He's got us those shirts, but you know what? Just to make him feel like he's part of the group, even though he's just an awesome guy, we'll dig at him just a little bit. So I like that they're, I think, getting in his head. Yeah. That's cool.
All right, let's get the next one in. Growing up, I was a Mickey Mantle fan. My dad was a Yankee fan. He was a switch hitter, and I just like the number. Patrick, who said that?
Well, look, I've been talking nothing about the history of switch hitters in the Rockies franchise history. Only 35 ever, And I do remember this quote coming out of the mouth of Michael Anthony, a.k.a. Michael Anthony Toglia, a.k.a. Michael Toglia.
Yes, Michael Toglia said it. I am so surprised that you've gotten all of these right so far. So, yeah, we asked Toglia when he got to Coors Field, hey, why number 29? And basically he said, you know, I didn't really get to pick. I just showed up and this was the number. We were like, oh, what number would you have liked to have had? He's like, oh, actually, number 7. But Brendan Rodgers has it, so I don't think I'm going to be getting it anytime soon. So, like, yeah. You know, we chuckled over it. But then he explained why, you know, number 7 would be his number. And that was his number growing up playing. So now we know. Well, now we know.
2 minus 9 is 7. So I think if you go that route, yes, it's actually -7. But if you made the 2 a negative and you subtracted a -9 from Patrick, it's a +7.
Stop it.
So I think I see what he's doing there.
No, he didn't pick it.
The baseball gods picked it for him.
It was picked for him. All right. I got one last quote. I think you'll get this one too. All right.
Let's do it. On the table, you think?
I like my coffee like I like my Colorado Rockies managers. Black. Patrick, who said that?
Okay.
Who would say such a thing about Bud Black?
The silhouette looks like it's either Ryan Spielberg's or Bart Simpson. But then when I listen to that quote, I go, gosh, I feel like I've heard that recently in the Rockies dugout. And, you know, I didn't have a conversation with Daniel Bard in the dugout like I usually do on a homestand. It's usually that'll take place around 5 o'clock on a night game. And I wasn't there in time to talk with Bud Black, but I do remember saying that to Bud Black. It's me. I said that dumb phrase.
You did. You've said it twice this week, too, which is insane. But yes, that is how Patrick likes his coffee. We also learned that Bud Black, his go-to, if he's going to Starbucks or something like that, he's going to get a grande Americano, just espresso and hot water. There we go. So we were talking coffee orders today.
And I know my baseball history. There is no baseball manager whose last name is either espresso, hot water, or just water. So I think I've got the best line. I like my coffee like my Rockies managers, Black. So use it if you need to. But you have to drink it black now. I mean, if you like creamer in it, you can't use that line. I legit don't use anything in my coffee. So it works. Also, Buddy answered it like he had heard that joke before too, by the way. Did you know
that? He was
like,
ready. Black.
And he pointed at himself. He's like he'd heard that one before. I guess when that's your last name, like you're kind of used to all kinds of wordplay and things of that nature, right? I mean, you get a 2 for Hunter.
Yeah, but you know what? He's been on this earth for a long time, so I'm sure he's truly heard it all.
He's been around the pun block and the wordplay block.
Yes.
Yes, for sure. And that's a safe block and a safe neighborhood to be in. But we'll have to talk about that another time.
Yeah.
Gosh, we'll have a show on Friday, I believe at about noon there with our good buddy Drew Goodman. And I love, you know, teaser. I have a little teaser. I think he'll like this one. He's got Michael Toglia as his guest this week. That'll drop on Thursday morning. Susie, I don't know if you know this. I'm always the first person who listens to the Drew Goodman podcast.
How are you always the first person?
We'll have shows at 9 a.m. I've already listened to it. I've already filed a report. I know what questions to hit with him. And so I'm like, I'm subscriber number one. As far as that is concerned. So I'm excited to listen to that conversation with Michael Toglia because he's playing really well so far. Hasn't gotten a fly ball in right field. That was something you go, oh, yeah, how about that?
Yeah, he has not yet.
No. A lot of textures out there, Susie. Got to be careful of those different textures. I wasn't sure if he knew that word. Like, I wasn't sure if he was going to pull that word, but that's the proper word. You got the chain link fence out there on the out of town scoreboard. You've got the padding, and you got a little concrete out there. There's a lot of different textures, not tinctures, like our super producer Kale loves, aka the tincture guy, Kale Sorbo. No, yes. We have Michael Toglia, the texture guy. He's the texture guy.
I'm excited to hear from him. What? Huh? We're talking over each other. It only took 47 minutes.
It's pretty good. Not bad. Look, we don't tweet over each other on Twitter at @DNVR_Rockies. We don't do that. We don't do it on my personal account at Patrick D. Lyon. So follow me for some fun witty banter. Susie, you got more fun banter than I do, though.
I have absolutely unhinged banter at the Susie Hunter on all platforms.
You've got the social media momentum. But look, you know what they say. Momentum, it's only as good as your next show. So we'll talk to you Friday at noon.